You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Friday, everybody. We're almost there. Happy weekend if you're listening to this over the weekend. Couple things to talk about today. Off the bat, we'll just quickly cover NBA Finals Game 5, which is this evening. And then also a couple of, we've been talking about fake trades all week. A couple of a little bit more legitimate rumors, at least rumors that some legitimate analysts have been weighing in on. First, I want to start with the idea of a Victor Oladipo trade. It's been a while since we've discussed him, but that was proposed by a writer at Bleacher Report. And then a couple of clips, or a couple notes, I should say, from John Hollinger, of course, the co-host of the Hollinger and Duncan NBA show on the Locked On NBA Network. We will play a clip between John and Nate talking about the idea of LaMelo Ball being drafted by the Wolves. I also want to talk about some analysis that John Hollinger had related to the idea of Julius Randle being traded to the Wolves, but written by the Knicks beat writer for The Athletic. Of course, John also writes over at The Athletic, so he had some thoughts on the idea of a Julius Randle fit in Minnesota. So we're talking LaMelo Ball, we're talking Julius Randle, Victor Oladipo, all those names today, including a clip from Hollinger and Duncan. All right, before we get into everything, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, so this evening, Game 5, if necessary, Game 6 will be on Sunday. Of course, the Lakers have a 3-1 advantage. And Jimmy Butler and the Heat, and hopefully Bam Adebayo should play. He played the other night. Those guys are going to try and extend this series to a Game 6. The game's at 8 p.m. Central this evening, and LeBron has a chance to close it out. He'll almost certainly be the MVP of the finals if he can do so, although Anthony Davis has been really good too, and especially defensively the last couple of games, last couple of wins for the Lakers, I should say. But, you know, it really feels to me like the Heat are going to have the opportunity to keep this close. I feel like they're going to have a kind of a last stand type moment. I believe the line's 7.5, Lakers -7.5 to win this game. So we will see, you know, what goes down this evening. I'm personally hoping that the Heat can make a game, make it a little more interesting and force a game six on Sunday. I think that would be more fun. As weird as this playoffs has been, of course, it's always sad when basketball actually ends. Then again, I guess when the finals are over, then the offseason starts, and that's basically like a holiday, for an extended holiday for Timberwolves fans. And we're within like 6 weeks or so of the draft now, so that's where we'll shift our focus here once the finals are concluded, possibly even as soon as tonight. And with Game 6, if there is one, being Sunday, very likely the next time we do a show here at Locked On Wolves for Monday, we'll know the result of the finals. So at any rate, be sure to check that game out tonight. Root for the Heat so we get a little more basketball this weekend and enjoy the game. All right, so what I want to talk about related to the Timberwolves today, let's start with the John Hollinger thoughts on LaMelo Ball as the number one pick. So I'll intro this before I play the clip between Hollinger and Duncan. So the consensus, the mock draft consensus, the number one pick is that the Wolves should and I guess will take Anthony Edwards. I think it was 7 out of the 10 mock drafts that we looked at, I think it was last week, said the Wolves would take Edwards. The others said they would take LaMelo Ball. Now, some of the bigger names in mock drafts, I mean, John Krasinski, the beat writer locally for The Athletic, switched his prediction from Edwards to Ball. ESPN and Jonathan Giovanni over there are predicting Ball to the Timberwolves. And now John Hollinger is weighing in on who he thinks is the consensus number one prospect in the draft based on speaking to different folks around the league. And that happens to be LaMelo Ball. So I've given my case on here for why I do think he is the number one selection for the Wolves. And it's not necessarily because he's the best roster fit for the Timberwolves, because he's not, but it's because he's the best overall talent. And whether that be making it work with him and D'Angelo Russell or trading one of the two of them at some point in the relatively near future, those are both possibilities. I do think that a Ball and Russell pairing could work, as we've talked about plenty on the show here. So what I'd like to do is play the clip from John and Nate Duncan on the podcast. And then after that, I'll give my thoughts on on, I guess, on their thoughts and what they think about the potential fit. So quickly prefacing this, the Hollinger and Duncan NBA show is part of the Locked On NBA Network. They do a weekly show. We actually played a clip the other day that was Timberwolves related on their show as well. They were talking about Jeremy Grant, and he is a target that the Timberwolves could look at signing in free agency this year, this offseason. So Hollinger and Duncan do a great job, and you know, this analysis from a guy who is recently an NBA executive and well thought of in Hollinger, and another great analyst in Nate Duncan, it definitely holds holds some water here. So let's go ahead and listen to the clip from Hollinger and Duncan.
Minnesota at number one, I think the general perception is that LaMelo Ball is the best talent available. Now, are there some issues here with his potential fit with D'Angelo Russell? Yeah, maybe. I mean, they're both kind of ball in hand point guards and haven't seemed too enthusiastic about playing defense. But I think because of their heights, I do think it's possible for them to play together. If they can kind of work out, how to be comfortable playing off the ball some of the time. And so I don't necessarily see that as a deal breaker for them, especially at the point they're at, which is like they're not trying to refine their chemistry for the run at the championship right now, right? They're just trying to build up enough talent to have a halfway decent team. And until you get to that point, I think you don't really worry about fit issues and things like that as much. They're still in talent accumulation phase, and they need to continue that. So if I'm in Minnesota's shoes, yeah, I pick up my phone, I listen to the trade offers, but at the end of the day, I probably just take LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some reporting that if they don't trade the pick, this is a good one to talk about here for you. It has been rumored that if they don't trade the pick, they'll take LaMelo Ball. What does that make you think when you hear something like that?
Yeah, you just wonder where that's coming from, because, you know, it's possible that, I mean, have they made their board internally by now? Yeah, probably. But like, who's Gerson Rose is going to tell that to? Right. Unless it serves some purpose. Right.
Trade talks.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing you want to do generally, it doesn't work as well if you're number one as it does with like maybe a little further down. You want to blow some smoke about some different names you might take with your pick, because the more chances it creates that somebody panics and jumps you to draft a guy that you don't even want, the better chance that the player you like falls to you. So there's definitely a little gamesmanship there.
All right, so there you have it. That's John Hollinger and Nate Duncan. Of course, that was Hollinger with his thoughts at the beginning. Duncan posed the question in the middle, and then Hollinger at the end as well, talking about the possibility of the Wolves trading the pick as well as a fit with Ball. So I'll give my thoughts on that coming up here next. Before we do that, let's talk about Built Go. We've talked about Built Bar a ton on this show. It's the best protein bar of all time. It tastes exactly like a candy bar. But now we have Built Go, which is the perfect, best workout gel on the market. And it tastes delicious. You know, every day is busy for many people. For me, it's a podcast, it's blog posts, it's my day job, of course. It's my family, it's trying to squeeze in a workout and all of those things. To avoid hitting a wall, Built Go is what helps me get through both the mental and the physical wall. Easy to take in 1.5 ounce packages. You can put it in your bag, bring it to the gym, bring it to work, put it in your pocket to get through the day. Again, just 1.5 ounces. It's the best workout gel on the market. It's just like a 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling, and it's natural. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. There's 3 delicious flavors to choose from: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. How does it work? It combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast and it's easy on the stomach. Built Go's loaded with good stuff to ignite my work. It's beta-alanine, vitamin B3, honey, a kick of caffeine. There's a vitamin B6, vitamin B12, 10,000% of your daily needs for vitamin B12. And of course, that collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health, and it literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com, use promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Okay, so my thoughts on John Hollinger's thoughts on LaMelo Ball to the Wolves. I agree with what he said. I've been saying on the show now for many weeks that, well, LaMelo Ball is an imperfect fit with Minnesota. I believe that the backcourt could work defensively because of the size and length of both Russell and Ball. And also, they're both smart basketball players. Ball's also got the athleticism to make things work defensively as long as he gets a little stronger and heeds the coaching advice at the NBA level, continues to improve and also hopefully show some interest in the defensive end of the floor. Russell's big enough to be effective defensively, provided, and also smart enough, provided he works hard to fight through screens and he plays in the scheme that he's asked to play in. There's been some issues with him, you know, for effort-wise defensively, and that's also an issue with Ball. But again, the size, the length, the basketball IQ on both ends of the floor, and then for Ball, the athleticism all suggests that they could improve and work well defensively together, at least well enough. So for Hollinger, that's less of a concern. You know, it's somewhat of a concern defensively, but there's some potential there for it to work out okay. And then offensively, to have two creators isn't a bad thing. Now, clearly, Russell's a slightly above average 3-point shooter, more of a volume shooter, but effective and mostly efficient offensively. And then Ball, there's some concerns with his shot selection and also his shot making outside the arc. And Hollinger doesn't really address that. But then the portion where he talks about potentially trading back and getting people interested in your pick, it's maybe more difficult to do at number one because everybody knows that you could take everybody and nobody's trying to get in front of you because obviously you have the first pick. So in some ways, Golden State's in a really good spot at number two as well for all the reasons John listed, in terms of trying to create some leverage and smoke screens and getting people interested in your pick. But he also talked about Gerson Rosas, you know, pretty much knowing what he's doing and being an open book about trying to move here if he needs to. But as he points out, and Nate Duncan pushes back a little bit, Hollinger points out why this rumor that the Wolves will take Ball if they trade the pick. Duncan's asking, well, what does that look like? Basically, what does that look like to Ball? But that rumor is not coming from Minnesota. As Hollinger says, what does Rosas gain by putting that rumor out there? He's already said publicly they're open for business. But he said that all along about every asset they have. It's not like he's saying we're open for business because we don't like any prospects in the draft. He's saying that, you know, they're completely willing to stand pat and pick Ball or anybody else for that matter. So I agree with Hollinger there as well that clearly that rumor is not coming from Minnesota because there's nothing to gain there. So, but thought it was interesting to hear Hollinger's perspective, hear him back up the idea that the Wolves could take Ball and make that work with Ball and Russell in the backcourt together. Be sure to check out the Hollinger and Duncan NBA show, again, weekly shows right here in the Locked On NBA Network. They do an awesome job, so keep track of what they're up to here as they wrap up the season and the finals and then move into some pretty heavy free agency and draft content here over the coming weeks. All right, so sticking with John Hollinger and his perspective on Wolves-related things, there was an article over at The Athletic that was published by one of the Knicks writers, the Knicks beat writer for The Athletic, Mike Vorkunov, and he proposed several trades for the Knicks and asked for John Hollinger's perspective as a former front office executive and somebody who was obviously at the forefront of ESPN's trade analysis. And in fact, his Hollinger, the PER and the Hollinger's quote-unquote analysis is still included in ESPN's trade machine as well. So who better to ask? And of course, John writes for The Athletic. So this worked out well for Mike Vorkunov over at The Athletic. Again, it's a subscription site. If you have a subscription, go check out this piece. But one of the proposed trades for the Knicks was with the Timberwolves. The name of this article, if you're looking for it, is called Let's Fire Up the Trade Machine for the Knicks and See What We Can Pull Off. The second trade discussed is a Timberwolves trade, and it has the Knicks sending Julius Randle and a second round pick via Charlotte to the Timberwolves for James Johnson, Omari Spellman, and the Brooklyn pick, which is number 17 in the first round. So let's start with the obvious. The Wolves aren't sending out the number one pick in this trade. So that immediately makes it at least something the Wolves would listen to. They're only sliding from 17 to, I don't have in front of me where the Charlotte pick is, but it's a pretty decent second round pick. So they're only sliding back 25 or so spots, 30 spots maybe in the draft into the second round. And they're giving up Spellman, who is on the outs anyways. So really you're looking at, you know, a slide down in the draft by 30 spots or so, and a swap of James Johnson's expiring deal for Julius Randle, who's got 2 years left on his deal, but actually the second year is only has a $4 million guarantee. So he's an $18.9 million cap hit next year, the 2021 season. The following year, there's $4 million in dead cap that's guaranteed. And then beyond that, the Wolves essentially could opt to let him go and save the rest of the deal. If they keep him, it's $19.8 million if he stays on the roster. So, you know, $18.9 and $19.8 million back-to-back years is a lot for Julius Randle, even in his age 25 and 26 seasons. But the option to let him go the following year for just $4 million is, not a bad one. So the argument here is, that the Wolves could make a move to get Julius Randle, who could fit offensively as the four in the Wolves offense. And it's one that we've discussed here on the show. It's been several weeks, which is why I wanted to talk about this again. Hollinger actually says that he's, quote, mildly intrigued by the Randle to the Wolves proposal, talks about how the Wolves would be willing to slide down in the draft to pick up somebody like him, but he has concerns with Randle's defense. And basically, if the Wolves are going to build around Towns and Russell, which they're doing, you can't have another guy who's a clear minus defender. Now, that flies in the face a little bit of him saying that the Wolves should take Ball at number one because he's also a minus defender. I think if I were to pose this question to John, what he would say is the Wolves are at number one, and the best move in terms of value and making the most of their assets would be taking Ball. They don't have any recourse there necessarily if they want to make the most of the pick. Whereas trading for Julius Randle, they could just turn around and make a different trade. Nobody's making them consummate this trade with the Knicks. So yeah, I mean, it might be worth the risk in the sense that Randle's a pretty decent fit offensively with Towns. It works, but defensively it's bad enough. And with as much money as Randle's being paid, it's probably not worth the gamble for the Wolves when they could just, you know, I guess my take on this is just trade James Johnson in another deal. I actually spoke with Nick Engstad of Locked On Mavs the other day, and he was talking about the possibility of trading, of making a trade with the Wolves to get James Johnson for their rotation. Talking about, DeLon Wright as an option, as somebody that could go to the Wolves. And I thought, you know, sure, that would fit. DeLon Wright fits with the Wolves. However, is that the best the Wolves can do with the James Johnson contract? Now, last year, we saw the Wolves stuck in a spot where they basically gave up Jeff Teague's expiring contract for nothing. It was about, you know, it was, well, I guess it was a little bit more than the James Johnson deal. And essentially, they got back Alan Crabb and another expiring in Evan Turner, and then released Alan Crabb or bought him out when he wasn't effective and not a good fit in Minnesota, as it turned out. So, I mean, maybe I'm overselling what the James Johnson contract is worth in this current climate, but I think the Wolves are going to do everything they can to move Johnson's deal by the deadline in a deal for a bigger fish. And I don't think Julius Randle's the target. I don't think DeLon Wright's the target. But those are both not awful ideas if the Wolves are stuck in a position where they're just going to let his deal expire and say they're not a playoff team at the deadline. You know, why not take a chance on a guy like Randle? You know, it's a rental, basically. I think that's something they would consider. But now it doesn't make any sense. You might as well see what you have or trade Johnson in a bigger deal versus trading him for a guy that's going to make $18.6 million and be a poor defender between Towns and D'Angelo Russell. So Hollinger basically says he thinks the Wolves would punt on the proposals, how he says it. I agree with that. I don't think there's any real reason why the Wolves would feel the need to make this particular trade. So I agree with his analysis there as well. All right, next I want to talk about Victor Oladipo. He is still being talked about as a potential trade target for the Timberwolves. I'll talk about the latest trade proposal that's being thrown out there by Bleacher Report's Zach Buckley involving Oladipo to the Wolves, and what my thoughts are on the possibility of Oladipo becoming a Minnesota Timberwolf, and if I think that that might happen. Okay, it's time to have the Victor Oladipo conversation one more time. Again, this has been a few weeks since we've talked about Oladipo. These rumors keep cropping up, and I think it's worth the discussion. So another article by Zach Buckley at Bleacher Report. This one is called "The Best Trade Offer Every NBA Lottery Team Could Hear on Draft Night." Now, I disagree with this, but here's the offer. The Pacers would get James Johnson, who of course is opting into the last year of his deal, Jarrett Culver, and the number one pick. The Wolves would get Victor Oladipo and Aaron Holiday. Now, the Timberwolves would win this trade in terms of talent. There's no question. Victor Oladipo is an all-star. He is the type of defender that the Timberwolves need to add to their team that could plug in between Russell and Towns and lock down opposing teams. Just a really good defender, both on ball and as a team defender. Aaron Holiday would be an upgrade over Jarrett Culver. He's right now, as of today, a better player. The Wolves would be giving up some upside, of course, trading away the number one pick and Culver and taking back Holiday, who's older than Culver and frankly has less high of a ceiling at this point in time. And, you know, Oladipo kind of is what he is, plus he's coming off injury. I still don't think I'd do this trade if I'm the Timberwolves, and here's why. I would be too concerned about Oladipo's injury history, still coming off the bad injury he had a couple of years ago, and he was not himself last year when he came back. Plus, he's a free agent next summer, and or I guess whenever the next offseason is, next fall or whatever happens over the next year. it'd be great to see what the fit would look like with Minnesota, and the Wolves would have themselves a big three. They're almost certainly a playoff team if they have Russell, Oladipo, and Towns in the starting lineup. And if you're not, then Towns and Russell aren't your best two. You know, you got to figure something else out. You got to blow it up again, I guess. But then Oladipo's a free agent. You've either got to pay him, and he's going to be, I'm going to pull up his exact age right now, but with the injury issues and all that, he's going to be, after next season, he'll be headed into his age 29 season. And do you want to give him the max? I mean, obviously it depends, a big part of it depends on how he bounces back in the 21 season and whether or not he'd be worth money on the free agent market. You know, that type of a contract, the Wolves would have his bird rights and, you know, could go ahead and keep him if they wanted to pony up. But do you want to be the team that's paying to do that? And do you want to give up the number one pick plus Jarrett Culver, who you drafted number six just a year ago, for that opportunity? Now, I also have concerns about the actual on-court fit, which aren't addressed here by Buckley. And I think sometimes people gloss over this a little bit when talking about the idea of adding Oladipo. Because yeah, the idea of adding a guy who's good offensively and defensively, a two-way player on the wing, that sounds ideal, doesn't it? That's what the Wolves need. However, look at Victor Oladipo's career. He has been best when he's been allowed to just perform offensively, be a high usage player, go score. Early in his career, when he was supposed to be more of a distributor, he wasn't successful. He was decently effective in Oklahoma City and started showing some signs of life, but was ultimately traded to Indiana, where he was given the keys to run the show. And he really did a great job. I mean, he's a two-time All-Star, most improved player, all-defensive team, all-NBA team, all that stuff in Indiana. And 2 years ago, he averaged, 23 points a game. He shot 37% from three. He got hurt last season. And then this year when he came back, he wasn't himself on either end of the floor, really. But he's really only had 1.5 years of all-star caliber play. And it's always come as him being the guy, being the high usage guy. I mean, his usage rate was over 30% in his age 25 season in 17-18, when he was the most improved player his first year in Indiana. He's not going to get a 30% usage rate on a team with D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns. And he's not a knockdown shooter. He's a good three-point shooter, 35% for his career. Since the injury, though, he's been, you know, below average, about 32, 33%. So, you know, if he's a 42% free throw shooter, or three-point shooter, I should say, maybe. But as the third wheel in this offense, can Oladipo really be effective? And do you want him taking shots away? A guy who's got, you know, do you look at his effective field goal percentage is below 50% since his injury. Do you want him taking shots away from Karl Anthony Towns, from D'Angelo Russell? It'd be great to have him defensively, but does he throw a wrench in your offensive plans? I think that question mark, and it's a real one, combined with the injury concerns and, you know, will he still have some burst and how is he going to respond a year, 2 years removed from surgery? And then also the contract. All those reasons, you know, in a vacuum, it sounds great. Add another all-star, add a two-way player on the wing. But if you combine those three concerns that I have, the contract, the injury history, and the actual fit on the offensive end of the floor in terms of his style of play and what's been best for Oladipo in his career, I pass on this deal. I get that I'm passing on basically every deal, but I'm going to be more picky with finding this third star because you got to get it right. If you get the wrong guy and you trade the number one pick, Jarrett Culver, and you let Oladipo walk, now what has Rosas done? He's acquired D'Angelo Russell, and he's blown through all the other assets. If you acquire him and you give him the max, or you extend him following this year, and in his, you know, 2 years down the road, in his age 30 season, he has no athleticism left, he's an average shooter, is he really a star anymore? Or does he even fit? I guess you find out over the next year if you acquire him, but then if you decide he doesn't fit, now you let him walk and you've blown through assets again. So he's not the guy I take the gamble on because of all those reasons. In fact, we've talked about Jrue Holiday, similar concerns with him from a contract and also a little bit less so, but a little bit of an injury history. I think he's a better fit than Victor Oladipo, frankly, on both ends of the floor. So Oladipo for me is a pass. As much as I like him and he seems like a great dude and I think he's a really good player, he just doesn't fit what the Wolves are trying to do offensively. And ponying up those kinds of assets to get him doesn't make a ton of sense to me. So I would pass on Oladipo. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. We'll be back on Monday morning, of course, a daily podcast Monday through Friday. So we'll be back with any new Wolves news from the weekend, as well as a recap of the finals, game 5 this evening, if necessary, game 6 Sunday. So we'll see if there is a game 7 to look forward to. Great. We'll talk about that Monday. If not, we'll put a bow on what was a weird NBA playoffs and NBA finals as well on Monday. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves. That's at Lockdown T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Lockdown Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.